This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Fenari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by Dave Welch. He's the author of the sci-fi series Evolving Crane.
How are you doing today, Dave?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm here in one piece.
Yeah. Well, you're down in Georgia, right?
Yeah. Macon, Georgia, actually.
Okay.
It's probably about an hour and a half south from Atlanta.
All right.
Yeah.
I know there was a hurricane over there somewhere in that area. I guess, was that worried by you?
Well, not really, but we get the effects of it. We get like the tail end of the rain and, you know, the winds and stuff in there. Which one is it? Ida.
Yeah, I knew it was around. I just hadn't exactly known where it was hitting in the U.S.
We get a little bit of that here now.
Yeah, I like living here on the West Coast because, you know, hurricanes always go east.
Yeah, right?
for some reason they can never hit us.
That's weird, man.
It's because of the Earth spin, right? The ones that hit us, you know, the U.S. and, you know, Mexico and all that, they start over on the coast of Africa and cross over. So, like, the ones that hit, like, Japan, they start off, like, coast of the U.S. and go across.
Yeah, tsunamis, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although I do have, like, a volcano in my backyard, so.
No.
I look at it every day. Mount Rainier. It's a huge volcano. Yep, there's places where I live, you know, that they have like volcano evacuation routes and stuff.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, because if that volcano erupts,
damn, man.
There are people that have like 10 minutes to get out of the valley.
What?
Like the city of Ording, which is not really it's like a town, but they don't have much time. Yeah, and like, but there's something like, I don't know, 20,000-30,000 people living in the destruction path. Yeah.
So you think about that pretty much every day. If you can look out your back window and see it, you know. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that mountain everywhere in the Pacific Northwest. You can see it from, I'm here in Tacoma, which is, I'm really close to it, but you can see it all the way up in Seattle, which is,
That's a big one, man.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, the Indians called it the mountain that walked because they could see it from everywhere.
Oh. That's
weird. Anyways, I don't know. You get used to it.
Yeah,
you know, they're fairly placid. You know, they you get warning with volcanoes; they don't just blow up.
Okay.
Overnight. Anyways, so how long have you wanted to be an author, Dave?
I've been writing for a while, man. I started when I was in elementary school. I had my first publication done in the Macon Bib newspaper, and I didn't know it was being published. I had no clue. I was sitting down with my mom one day, and we was going through a scrapbook, and I came up to a cutout. She cut the story out of the newspaper, and she laminated it, and she put it in her folder.
Of course,
and I was running through, and I saw that publication, and I started reading that story. I was like, hey, I remember this. And she told me.
So this is like adult you, that's, you know.
Yeah. Looking back at it, I was like, what in the world? This was published? But, you know, that was then, you know, in elementary school. And it was a really short story. You know, I'm a kid, right? So.
Yeah.
But as of age, I think I started writing right around the end of college. I got into writing. I was doing more of like a script instead of like novels. Yeah. I was doing like a script for an animation.
All right, cool.
Yeah. And then it just turned into a novel format, man, because making an animation is extremely expensive. it's a lot cheaper to do a book. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I paid for covers. It's like the cover of a book can run you about as much as you pay your editor if you have a cheap editor like me.
Yeah.
I mean, I pay a little bit more on the editing, but the cover is pretty.
It's pretty expensive, pricey. Man.
Yeah. When you're doing like custom art, you know, especially not like you know, photo manipulation stuff, but like
right, you know,
painted art, yeah.
And that's what I wanted when I was working with Ryan, the guy that did the cover, Ryan Schwarz. He's amazing, man. And if I could high five him right now, I would. But he's off in Canada somewhere. But anyway, he did a banging job on that front cover, man. And I told him, you know, I wanted it to be original, you know, authentic type of thing. And he just, you know, he just laid it out, man.
Awesome. So that's with your Evolving Crane series?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I started with him and I branched off to other designers, you know, graphic designers, because I wanted to get, you know, more people involved. But I, you know, after, you know, visiting these other guys and doing work with them, they're all phenomenal artists. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just something about the way he, you know, chooses his landscapes, the colors and stuff. It's really intriguing, man. I feel like I may end up working with him again, you know.
Awesome. So let's talk about your Evolving Crane series, which, from what I read, it seems to be a sort of sci-fi fight against space fascists.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, Evolving Crane, it's about an alien race. They are struggling to neutralize a genocidal threat. They're being killed off. You know, like how Hitler was doing back in the day with the Jews. They're going through that same turmoil.
Yeah.
Before the story really kicks off, and they're going extinct, and a few of them are like, hey, yo, we are dwindling in numbers, man. We got to do something. We need to stand up and fight, you know. So this one guy, he decides to retaliate. And when he does, he wakes up this sleeping giant. It's like a race of androids. They have their hands on everything. They have a mental sway, and it reaches to unfound distances. Like, I'm talking about, they touch multiverses.
Okay.
Because they're the epitome of technology. So, you know, when he attacks this race of androids, they go into a plan, and it's called Project Rapture. And what happens is, with this rapture, they start abducting beings from all different spaces and all different universes, and they end up abducting this guy from Earth named Arlo Crane. And when they abduct him, that's when things starts to get, you know, really crazy, because Crane is, that's not the guy you want to abduct, you know. But that's the way the story it starts unfolding from there, and it gets crazier with each book.
Yeah. Right, well, tell us a little bit about was it Hollow Crane?
Arlo
Crane. Yeah, that sounds right. That what I said did not sound right.
Crane is a recovering crackhead.
Okay.
And he's skilled in several forms of martial arts. He's got a wrestling background. He's got boxing, kickboxing, jiu-jitsu. He's an all-around guy. And he gets involved with the wrong gang, with the wrong people. He goes down this dark path, you know, criminal activity type of stuff.
And yeah.
He's wanted in several states. He goes through a dramatic character change when he meets his girlfriend, Kanaya Lawson. She's a federal agent. Oddly enough, she's a federal agent. But yeah, they fall in love with each other, and she can't seem to turn him in, and he can't seem to kill her. They just, you know, they're just there loving on each other, all that kind of good stuff. And he goes about a character change when he has a daughter, and his daughter takes him out of the game. She makes him settle down, turns him into a father, and he's like, you know, struggling with these past demons that want to resurface in his life. And you know, he's already struggling from that alone, you know?
Yeah.
But some things occur in his life, and he ends up taking a downward spiral. And somehow he finds his way back into that criminal realm, that criminal land.
Okay. And then he gets abducted by
aliens. Yeah. He gets abducted. He had an incident occurred that, you know, I don't want to spoil it too much.
No. Let's not spoil. Let's tease.
Right. And it's an incident occurred that made him step over the board. He took that final leap of life, and before he could really, you know, just call it quits and really commit to suicide, he gets abducted. And that's when the crazy stuff begins. He gets drugged into this experiment. The guys, they run all these types of tests on him, and he ends up turning into something a little strange, a little odder than the average human. He's augmented, and he becomes more of a hybrid species. And then they shove him out into this cosmic war, and they expect him to respond the way that they think that he should. But no, not quite.
Yeah, sounds like a really great premise.
Yeah,
for a story. I like. It has a lot of It has a lot of, I think, like really good character stuff in it, which is, I think, really important in fiction. You know, you can have like your craziest sci-fi setting, but if you have a bunch of like cardboard characters, you know, right. Who cares how amazing your setting is?
I think characters make a huge difference, man.
Especially yeah,
when the readers get to visualize the struggles and the challenges that these characters are dealing with. They notice the character change and the character flaws. It makes it more realistic. Because, you know, I wanted to develop some guys, some characters that the readers could actually relate to, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like a flawed character, you know, it's someone you can be like, yeah, no, I've done dumb stuff in my life, right? And,
right.
You know, and you like to see a character that, like, can sort of overcome their own sort of personal demons, right?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that sounds great. So where did the idea come from for robot aliens abducting humans and turning them into, you know, robot hybrid fighting machines?
Here it is, man. I don't know if you've heard of the singularity.
Yes, I know what
the singularity is. Okay, right. So the singularity, this is how it starts. To these guys, to this race of androids, the singularity is a moment that happens in every universe. So this is how they touch the multiverse.
Okay.
The singularity.
Want to explain to the listeners what the singularity is?
So for people that don't understand what the singularity is, the singularity is a moment in, you know, time with humanity, where we create this one technological advancement, and it's so fast, it's so technological savvy that it dwarfs human conception. It's so smart that we as humans can't keep up with the device. And in order for us to keep track of this technology, we end up merging with the technology. We get it infused into our bodies. We tap into it. It's like embedded within our skin. And that's how we keep up with the technology, because it's advancing so fast that, you know, in a blink of an eye, we've lost control of it. It's like a technological bomb being set off around the world. So the singularity happens with every race, with every universe, with every galaxy. It's the same event. And these guys are at the pinnacle. They're at the middle. They are the ground floor for this technological advancement. And this is how they sway everyone into becoming our champions. That's the name of the race. But these guys, they tap into your mind, and they tell you to make this type of device. You create a computer. You end up creating a cell phone. And then all of a sudden, you create that master device, and that's the one that just spawns off the technological bomb. And the race ends up merging with technology. And that's what happened to the Zarchastrians. They end up merging with technology, and they turn into a race of androids. They so advanced that they can reproduce like humans, and they wanted to, you know, advance so much because, you know, it is a technological bomb. They wanted to take over every single thing that they possibly could. And to do that, they started abducting beings and turning them. They really wanted to speed up the process so they could reach greater distances at a faster rate. And what happens is they end up doing this thing from a distance, you know, tapping into our technology. But when the one guy responded and he retaliated against his Zarchastrians, that's when they upped their timetable, and they just started abducting people quicker to go ahead and, you know, wipe the rest of these guys off of the face of the map. And, you know, that's how it got started when they ended up with the Crane. Yeah, it just went downhill from there, man. They make one of the biggest mistakes they could make when they did that.
Perfect.
But yeah, I wanted to base it on something that was actually realistic, you know, because the moment is coming, especially with the way we're doing things now, you know. Technology is on a rampage, man, and we like it because we can still keep up with it. But what about that moment when we can't, you know?
Yeah. Although I would say that, you know, they got these AI running algorithms that, you know, the people who write them don't realize what they're exactly going to do.
Right.
Which causes weird, you know, problems.
I was reading post about two computers, right? This guy, he was adding some information into a computer, and the computer started spitting out gibberish. You know how you just get letters and, you know, they're in no shape or form or fashion of any kind of word? And that's what the computer was spelling out on the screen. And the computer next to that one started, you know, doing the same thing. And the scientist, he sat back and he watched it, and he came to the realization that these computers were communicating with each other through gibberish. So, I mean, you know, it's a scary thing, man, but we don't know that land. We don't know that atmosphere for real. We think we do, but.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're just, you know, they're not like self-aware. They're just.
Yeah.
Learn and adapt, and they're really smart. They do what computers do well, which is, you know, catalog data. I know Kaylin Rivers, she once she got one of those bots that will write stuff for you, and she got to write an article for her, and it was hilariously bad. It was like ideas, but they were all like contradictory and like sort of there, and they didn't always make sense, but it was kind of an article. It was like an article, but it was hilarious to think of read it because people are paying this like company money for it to write AI articles for them, apparently. And I'm like, okay, you need to still like go through and like edit that. Cause it's like, it's just like scrounged the internet for like, writing advice, and you know, writing advice, it's all contradictory.
Yeah, so, it is. Yeah.
So it was contradicting itself.
Oh, man. But that was hilarious.
Yeah. So what do you got next coming up? You still writing Evolving Crane, or
is that? Yeah, it's a series. So
okay.
It's, you know, I'm going to do three. I'm going to do a set of three, so... Evolving Crane book one that actually launched today. So it's on Amazon, it's on Goodreads, Google. You got it in Barnes and Nobles. Yeah, man. And I think it's gonna be September the 30th. That's gonna be book two, Evolving Crane, and book three will launch October the 30th. And it's all gonna be on Amazon. You got Emobi.
It's all up on pre-order though on Amazon, because I did see three books.
Yeah. They're on pre-order. I'm actually doing some last minute updates to everything.
Of course.
Yeah, you know how it is.
You got that You got like what, 20 more days on your second book?
Yeah, I got
before like Amazon will get mad at you.
Right, right. And I actually spoke with them too, man. I already had a talk with them. I was like, yo, man, you guys are killer, man. Give me a second.
Yeah, because they send you these emails like you need to have your book ready by this date. They will not be happy with you if you want to mess with it after that 10-day window. After you get to like that last 10 days, they do not like that.
They cut you all off, man. They block you, boom. They block all kind of stuff. You have to.
Well, they'll just block you from doing pre-orders for like a year.
Yeah. They told me that too. I was like, a whole year.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you're not one of the big publishers that can just push back release dates whenever you want.
Right. Yeah. But that's what I got in the pipeline for now, man. But in the future, I want to do 3 books a year. That way, I can keep the audience, keep the fans engaged, and hopefully I could generate enough numbers to where I can actually, put it in front of a television syndicate and hopefully get it on Netflix or either HBO or, Amazon Prime, something like that.
Well, I mean Netflix, right? They'll do anything.
Yeah, they will. I've seen some of the...
I haven't looked on Netflix in a couple of years, but when I stopped, there was some really, really bad stuff they put out.
Yeah, it's, but it's out though, I high five those guys, man, even for making crappy work,
Yeah, so good luck with that. If you'd like to tell our listeners where they can connect with you on the internet.
Sure, man. You can find me on Facebook. Just look me up, Dave Welch, Man of Slugs. That's on Facebook. That's the fan page for a lot of people that are, big fans of the cartoon, big fans of the artwork. Dave, theauthor.com. That's my website. You can check me out there. I'm on Goodreads. I'm actually on Instagram as well and on Twitter. So, if you look me up, you can find all of the links on my website, www.davetheauthor.com. And you can find all of the links there, man. They're all on one page. Check me out. Look at some of that artwork. I'm going to be giving away some framed pieces and some canvas art, too, just for some of the fans, being there. Because these guys, you drive me, you motivate me a lot. And it's crazy because... I know it's people out there that actually want to see this happen. So thanks awesome. For the motivation. Yeah, man.
Well, it was really great talking with you, Dave.
Oh, it was great talking to you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have yourself a great one.
All right, you too, man. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.